Okay, and this is Brian. I'll be the administrator on today's call. I'll go through the instructions one more time before we get started. If you didn't receive the reminder email about an hour ago, you can just point your web browser directly to mecgroups.com/MEC_research_log, and on that page you'll find some URLs, and we'll also be adding some data throughout the conference and asking you to refresh the page as we do so. Some phone key commands that you may find useful are *4 to increase the volume on your line, and *6 will mute your line. If you're in a noisy room, that's useful. And then *6 will unmute your line as well once it's muted. I'll also go ahead, I'll read that URL one more time before we get started, but I'll go ahead and announce the upcoming clinics and research briefs that we'll be publishing. Right now we have just one clinic scheduled because we may have to revise the time our future clinics, but the one we have scheduled is for Wednesday, October 20th at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and that's how to structure cross-selling on the web. The upcoming research briefs, well, actually, if you'd like to participate in that clinic, you can email me directly at editor@marketingexperiments.com, and I'll get a spot reserved for you. Again, that's Wednesday, October 20th at 4 p.m., how to structure cross-selling on the web. The upcoming research briefs that we have scheduled are testing eBay's new pay-per-click service, optimizing subscription revenue for online subscription sites. Linking strategies for your website is today's brief. I don't know why that's listed there, but cross-selling on the web, we'll have a brief in addition to the clinic in 2 weeks. Again, one last time, the URL for the notes for today's conference is mecgroups.com/MEC_research_log, and we'll ask you to refresh that page as we add some data. At this time, I'd like to introduce Dr. Flint McLaughlin, who will be the primary speaker for today's conference. Dr. McLaughlin.
Okay, Brian, thank you very much. We're going to get started. The topic here is how to generate incoming links, and we'll focus on 20 different key points or strategies that will help you to do that, look at some data together. This is an area that's been focused on the internet for some time by a number of different marketing groups, publications, and others, but it has had as much, a lot of advice that you get regarding linking strategies can get you in trouble. And it grows increasingly difficult to structure any type of automated, in fact, even the approach for setting up mutual links is changing as time passes because of the difficulties, the way search engines view link farms, and so on. And the reality is many of us, when we have ramped up all the traffic that we can purchase through the pay-per-click engines, and when we've exhausted many of the possibilities that are out there, we begin looking around for a new way to drive business. And linking strategies become one of those keys, particularly as a tactic associated with a more important comprehensive strategy, and that is developing effective strategic alliances. Now, I mention that because, and I'm speaking really without benefit of the research reports I have in front of me, because I need to put this whole session into a context that is right for those of us that are marketers and that are right now participating in this conference. You do reach a point, and this is the limitation of the web. If you have an unlimited budget, which most of our readers don't, I'm sure, but if you have an unlimited budget, and you do in the sense that if you can buy traffic for 38 cents and you know you're going to make 78 cents per visit, at that point you can afford to buy all the traffic possible up to something approaching that 78 cents, and assuming that 78 cents is profit. And so in some sense, even a person without a lot of means can quickly exhaust all their pay-per-click opportunities. And when they do, and you lift up your head and you look around, you begin asking, well, how else do I use all this internet opportunity to get traffic to my site? And surprisingly, there's not as much out there as it would seem. The reality is, the reason the pay-per-click engines have grown so dramatically is because it's the one factor that you could influence just with your dollar bill in terms of capturing traffic. Prior to that, you would have to indirectly work through an SEO group to get noticed in an engine like Yahoo or some other place, and that still is a big part of strategy. But when you eliminate search and you mail to your house list, where else do you turn to get traffic? Many people turn automatically to affiliate programs. But most affiliate programs, by far, I would say 99% of affiliate programs that are out there are not working effectively, and they're actually more trouble than they're worth. So the question becomes, you know, what do you do? And candidly, strategic alliances, and they themselves, strategic alliances in the general strategic sense, will be part of a major report that we're working on right now, and it's based on a lot of work we've done in this area and research in this area. But if you turn to strategic alliances, you're going to find the seedbed from which you begin to get and gain and capture good strategic partnerships is sometimes your linking campaigns. So why are these links important for your website? Number one, because they generate free traffic directly. And the more traffic that you can attract via links on other relevant websites, the less you'll have to spend on pay-per-click search engines and other paid marketing programs, or at least it's additional traffic that you won't have to capture through the pay-per-click engines.
What? And
yes. Hello? I thought someone was speaking. Secondly, link popularity is important in some search engines, and obviously groups like Google place some factor, some weight in terms of your ranking overall in their engines based on the relevant links pointing to your site. Thirdly, exchanging links with complementary but not competitive sites can increase the overall traffic to both sites. So you create a win-win situation sometimes for both site owners. My call prior to this call at 3 o'clock this afternoon, actually 2:30 this afternoon, was with a marketing news group that wanted to, in some sense or another, affect a mutual link campaign strategy with us. We know that they deal with media buyers, and we know that many of our readers are media buyers and marketing directors, and it makes abundant sense for them to somehow drive traffic to us and for us to drive traffic to them. And so it's an issue that we deal with here at MEC as well. The first step, really, in beginning to think about a link campaign is to measure the number of incoming links that you have in your own site. Most of you are familiar with the tools that you can do this by. And one of those is marketlink.com. And you can go there. There's a link. What number is that, Brian?
That's link number 2 on the list.
Link number 2. We're going to go back to that. Brian, I'm getting ready to come to your chart here in just a moment.
Okay.
You can plug in your own URL and the URL for several of your competitors. It's critical not only just to look at your URL, but to use this chart to put in the URL for your other competitors or this site, and find out who is linking to them. That will tell you a great deal about who you ought to be linking to and the types of groups you ought to be linking to. Now, as a matter of research, as a matter of data, apart from what we're getting ready to talk to you about, some of the things we've learned from our own research and experience in the marketplace, the question becomes, you know, what difference does a link campaign really make in a site's overall traffic? And more importantly, what type of site naturally gathers incoming links? Because the truth here is that the right website in itself will attract many, many links without you even having to request them, and that should be the foundation of your strategy for capturing links. If you are the kind of site that people look at and they do this simple aha factor, which means they are impressed with something unique about you that other sites do not have, they will link to you, they'll talk about you in their forums, they'll recommend you to a friend, and it will make a significant difference. I was talking this past week with a publisher on the West Coast who publishes very specific information in a small publication that goes out and has for many years to his industry. And he was able to get tracking software in place. We're running experiments with him. And we discovered that despite the size of his list, which is quite small, just a few thousand names, he had more than 100% of his list seeing and opening the publication because friends were forwarding it to other places, meaning that he might charge an advertiser based on page views, or in his case, the number of names on his list, when in reality is twice as many people were actually seeing publication, almost three times as many people were seeing publication. What is the point? The point is that if you build a good site or you have a good content offering, people will talk about you. And I want to suggest that you don't have to be in the publishing business per se in order to attract good links. Niche retailers with unique offerings and lots of supporting information can do so. They have a chart to kind of show you the impact of adding content to your site on your overall linking, the number of people who are linking to you. And Brian, if you go ahead and refresh the notes, those of you right now with your notes open can watch as a chart will appear if you refresh your page. And in that chart, we're going to notice something that I think you'll find quite interesting. There are four sites there. And supplementcentral.com, vitaminlife.com, vitaminshop.com, and nutritionalsupplements.com. You may note that of those four sites, the fourth one has 4,710 incoming links. The one in second place, 1330, and then 1250 and 561, moving in reverse order up the list. That's the composite of all the web based on AltaVista, Google, Hotbot, MSN, and Yahoo. Now, what is, incidentally, that's all the web, 4710. Yahoo is at 8430. And just look at the difference. Look how much larger the category. For instance, nutritionalsupplements.com has 3.5 times as many links in its all the web listing. All the web finds, you know, 3.5 times as many links coming to it according to all the web. And if you look from AltaVista and Google, just notice the popularity. Far, far more popular in general than the other sites. What is the difference? Essentially, nutritionalsupplements.com is a site with lots of content. And so the content itself attracts links. And those links translate into a higher degree of popularity. You may want to visit that site, and you may want to study the offering itself. But if you were a retailer and you were to duplicate the nature or the principles that are driving this site's content, you may find that you have lots more traffic coming into your site for which you are not paying anything. And so, when I say anything, I'm talking about in terms of pay-per-click. Key point here is that a site with the proper content, it's designed properly, will get far more link popularity than a site that does not. And this, of course, translates into much greater traffic. Having said that, the question that is quite germane at this moment is essentially, what are the most effective methods to generate incoming links? It's really a how question. How do I do it? And so I'm going to begin to talk about that today, and we'll see how far we can get through some of these notes. And then, of course, we're going to be releasing this in report for some of you. If you have questions, feel free to ask me. And as we move through the material, I'll start to begin to lay out some of the things that we've discovered in time. Number one, submit your site to as many directories as possible. Now, directories differ from search engines in that they are usually maintained by a human editor rather than a robot or a spider that indexes your site. And in most cases, directories provide links to your site on static pages rather than dynamically generated search results pages. This is important when contributing to link popularity. Thus, directories provide a relatively simple way to create incoming links to your site and can contribute significantly to your link popularity, which I may remind you, not only does that result in more traffic, but it results in higher search rankings. Below, we've listed the leading general and UK-based directories. Brian, I'd like you to, did you plan to drop those in the notes?
I can, sure. What I did in the notes that may also be useful is URLs 3 and 4 are two directory of directories or meta directories that kind of list those same leading directories and as well as a number of specialized ones that are catered to certain topics. So, but I'll go ahead and drop our list in there as well.
This will be in the final report that you receive, but I'd like to help you today by giving you a pretty extensive list of the directories you should already be submitting to. And so Brian will drop those in a few moments. You'll notice that as you refresh your note pages. Now, the key here then is really to provide as much valuable content as possible. Really more than any other factor, high quality content on your site will encourage other website owners to create links to your site. Valuable content can take many forms, informative articles, product reviews or comparisons, software downloads, free services, opinion-based content such as blogs, and many others. Even a large or inexpensive selection of products can be considered valuable to website owners who don't provide such a service. Now, I want to dwell on this point for a moment because I'm sure a number of you on the line right now are retailers. And it's critical to recognize that there's a, you know, the frustration you may have that, hey, I'm a retailer, I'm not a publisher, I don't know how to, you know, I don't generate high quality articles. Was someone speaking to me? If not, you might want to mute your phone. If that was a question, just let me know. But the bottom line is this. If you are a retailer and you wonder, what can I do to generate content? One of the things that we've discovered that we think is quite useful is that much of your content can center around, A, your products. You should have your top products in your offering. Those that are most profitable are those that are most popular. And unless they're a high commodity like batteries, wherein there's not much to say, you'll find that the greater the content you provide on those products, the higher typically your conversion ratio will be. People want to know information, and that probably increases in proportion also to the expense or the cost of the product that you're trying to sell. But even in cases where you have content, for instance, Amazon, one of the things it's done much more effectively over the last few years is provide far more information about the books that it carries on its site through user reviews, through author contributions, through samples of the table of contents, through images of the front and back covers and excerpts from the report. Those types of, or from the book, those types of things any retailer can do that has a product that merits some type of significant information. It may be that your product is a unique garden tool. If it's a garden tool, then you need to embed that product in information about garden tools, and you need to provide as much information in particular, stories, examples, plans, blueprints, diagrams, anything you can do that will aid someone who's interested in that particular product will serve to increase your link popularity and improve your search rankings, not just because of your link popularity, but also because of the keyword-rich content that you're surrounding this with. I'll go a step further and say if you have, let's suppose you have 1,000 products on your site, but you know, there are 20 that are quite unique, they're high sellers, they're profitable, and there's a lot of search demand for those products. You should consider creating standalone one-page long copy sites or at least pages on your site all about each one of those products that provides as much information as possible. And in doing so, you should drive separate traffic to those pages. You were in, many of you here are familiar with our recent report on long copy versus short copy. We have found that in this case, long copy will far outpull short copy, and a lot of retailers are, in the name of adding more products, are not giving the attention they need to the products they have, and that by simply adequately providing information, they'll fatten the content offering up and thereby increase their link popularity as well. Syndicate your content. Allow other website owners, I'm on number 3, to reprint some of your content in exchange for links back to your site. This keyword-rich copy on other sites can create significant incoming traffic as well as impacting your, or as well as impact your link popularity. So think about how you can take content that you have in your site and using an RSS feed or a number of syndication features that are out there. We've written on syndication in the past. We have reports on that and how to do it, and we've even provided scripts for it. It's in the lab. As a member, you have access to that information. But consider syndicating key copy. I want to go back to the issue if you're a retailer. If you're a retailer, you may think, well, nobody would want my copy to be syndicated. Then why don't you consider putting together really strong product reviews and review a product, writing its key features. Listen, with outsourcing now on the web, you can sometimes get a quality article written for $50 to $150. You can turn around and turn out X number of those reviews per week, per month, and you can allow those reviews to be featured places on your site. You can allow those reviews to take up content in freestanding one-page websites or long copy web pages embedded in your store. You can allow those same reviews to form a content offering that goes out in your emails to your customer base. You can allow those same reviews to form content that is syndicated in RSS feeds to other sites who may want to get product reviews. Just make sure that the reviews you write are good, they're thorough, and they're well written, and they're written by somebody who understands the product. If you provide value in the review, not just use the review to try and take somebody else's value, i.e. get money out of the pocket of a reader. If you provide real value in the review, it'll have legs on the web. That's where ZDNet, and you know, got so much of its original steam that helped it establish its editorial strength. Create an affiliate program. This is another way. This encourages other site owners to link to your site because they can earn a commission or other rewards for sending you traffic. Now, if you're going to create an affiliate program, you need to see our report on how to do it, because it's done wrong most of the time. And in that report, we go, it's a very long report that breaks out, examines a number of different programs. I think it compares three or four side by side and shows you one that generates half of the company's revenue and three others that don't do so well, and it stresses the difference. That report is link number what, Brian?
The affiliate marketing brief is link number 6 in the notes.
Also, if you, you've created a high-quality website, consider submitting it to offline awards programs. We've done an extensive report on how award sites can contribute to traffic in your site. In fact, we studied 600 award sites, culled down and tested 50 by submitting a number of sites to all 50, and then recording the results. And that's also a link number to that report in that you can get to. As a member, you got access to that data. What is that link number, Brian?
That's link number 5, the website awards brief.
Okay, so you'll want to go to number 5 for that. Here's my 6th key. Solicit reciprocal links. You know, there's been some writers recently that have turned out books to talk about the power of asking. Much of what we need to do that we don't do very well in our copy and in our email work and in our campaigns is we don't ask politely, not with the obnoxious sales, you know, approach of hitting people over the head 16 times in order to get them to say yes. But, you know, present your case, provide a proper decision tool or decision matrix so somebody can realize that you are a good choice for their particular need and ask. In terms of linking, that means writing them and asking them. And when if you write somebody a note requesting an exchange of mutual links, take time. Don't send them a blank template. Don't send them a form letter. Take time to find out who they are. Compliment them on some unique and precise feature about their current site or their content or their products. So they know within the first, and this is very key, so they can determine within the first two lines that the email they're getting from you is not a form, you know, link farm letter. But because of the nature of what you're doing, of what you say, they recognize that you've actually visited their site and you're talking about independent features within their site. It's important if you can find something to compliment them about and begin the letter with really a serious, deserved, and genuine compliment. You'll find that you'll win an ear. And then you can talk about your site and suggest that maybe there's a way you guys can work together. That type of email approach is far more effective. And I'll tell you something, linking to the right site, I'd rather have 5 good links than 1,000 poor ones. What you're going to find is eventually, and I mentioned this, I intimated this at the beginning of the conversation, you're going to find that very often the beginning efforts to find good link partners will yield for you a much more strategic partner, which you can do many other things, co-registration, joint emailings, I'm talking about permission-based and done properly, and other opportunities that comes as you find good partners. Every retailer or publisher should be regularly doing a couple of things. Conducting a competitive review. If you don't review your competitors regularly, studying what they're doing, looking for what they're doing right and looking for what they're doing wrong, you're missing out on growth opportunities. And number two, not only conducting a competitive review, but conducting what I call a parallel industry review. And that is finding other people in parallel industries serving your same product niche and looking at how they're doing it. This process then doesn't become the tedious work of just trying to find somebody to request a link. It becomes a business intelligence process that improves overall how you operate your organization. And executing those two types of research projects, and they may be informal. Maybe you late at night sitting at your computer. I'm not suggesting that you have to hire a research firm. But those two projects executed properly also then provide with you a great group of companies that you may want to approach for a mutual link campaign. Number 7, when selecting Links Exchange partners, utilize the search engines to identify sites that rank well for search terms that are important for your site. From among these sites, target the sites that complement your own offering, but do not directly compete with it. Number 8, utilize link popularity tools and search engines to identify which sites are linking to your competitors and solicit links from these sites as well. Number 9, focus on creating links with relevant link text. If your site sells marketing widgets, don't use text such as Bob's Widgets, but the actual link text, which can be different than the underlying HTML link, should be something like Bob's Discount, marketing widgets. I'd beware of the word discount. It still has power, but it often indicates cheap. And so, we're using that as an example. But beware of that, of your terminology. The point is, use link text that identifies who you are. And if possible, and this is very critical, and Brian, you'll want to add this, if possible, it identifies your unique value proposition. I know you don't want me perhaps to set up and drill on value proposition, but I can say in a sentence that a value proposition is the reason why I should buy from you rather than anyone else. Now, my friend next door may ought to buy from someone else because he might not be my profile, but there is a specific market profile that ought to be buying from you because you ought to be offering at least one specific dimension of value that no one else does. And this is the reason that justifies your existence in the marketplace. Brian, maybe you don't know, is trained as a philosopher, and so am I, and in terms of academic training. And philosophically, Brian, I would say this is the metaphysics of market existence. You need a reason.
Now that our audience is completely asleep.
Yes. You need a reason to exist in the market, and if you don't, you're going to find that you're swimming upstream the whole time. I see, and I've said this before, and again, I'll pass on because some of you have heard this in other comments I've made in the past, but a great value proposition can make a mediocre team look really, really brilliant. And a mediocre value proposition can make a brilliant team look really, really mediocre. And value propositions are much easier to discover than they are to determine. So often it's something that happens to you as you evolve into a value proposition that, truly matters in the marketplace. So be aware of that, and if you have that, and it might be that you have the only, that might be the key adverb to describe you in your value proposition. If you're the only carrier of product X, well, you've got a value proposition. If a lot of people need product X and you've got the exclusive, i.e., you're Microsoft and you have a Windows operating system, and most computers users want an operating system. And initially, they did have the only one for IBM, and that's what launched Microsoft's significant rise in the market. Only may not be. It may be that you have the most, but you can't tell the world you have the most. You have to tell them you have 400,674, which happens to be the most. But most may be another descriptive word. But try to, in your link wording, to use wording that illustrates instantly, in a few words, why someone should click on you if they are your targeted market. So it also, by the way, increases your link relevance in calculating link popularity for crawling or natural search engines. And we've talked about that in another report. What's the number on that one, Brian? Link number?
That's number 7. Sorry.
Number 7. All right. So point 10, focus on quality links. Authoritative sites will have a greater impact on link popularity than unknown sites. That's very critical. It's the difference between quality and quantity, which, you know, applies in almost any marketing effort. I my conversation recently with a group that only has 6,500 subscribers, and yet it's got advertisers beating the door down to get to their subscribers, because when you advertise on their list, you get results, because they have a unique group you can't hardly get to anywhere else on the net, and they have a lot of authority or credibility with their 6,500 subscribers. I'm getting ready to release a report on e-zine advertising, and in it you'll find that some of the smaller e-zine lists are actually the most productive e-zine lists, because they're homegrown and there is a relationship between the writer and the market that means anything he talks about or puts in his publication gets extra notice. I would suggest for you that you want to focus on links of quality, and one type of quality is what we call an authority site. That's a site that does reviews, a site that publishes content. We are an authority site. MEC is an authority site. If we say, you know, 2 years ago we spoke well about a certain new marketing group, and sales tripled for 2 months. And subsequently we were approached by all their competitors, but we didn't, you couldn't buy a review from us. It just so happened that we studied them and it did well, and we reported it, and our readers responded. I would suggest you want to find those authority sites if at all possible. Number 11, by the way, if you can find a good authority site, often you'll find the site that might have a lot of credibility in the marketplace, but they don't make much money. Buy them. Buy them. This is the time. It's a mistake right now to miss out on the acquisition opportunities on the internet. I know all about the dot-com disaster. We were all there. But that's because people weren't building businesses. They were building web brochures. They were building audiences. They were building many things, but they weren't building businesses. But the web has changed. And right now, this very moment, you can buy valuable lists that I'll guarantee you in 24 months you won't be able to touch for the amount of money that you can get them now. I'll go so far as to say that even now, a list of 10,000 names is worth a whole lot more than it was 2 years ago. And I don't just mean a list of names as being the only asset that's of value on the net, but now is the time to make strategic acquisitions, and it can often be done in ways that you don't realize, and it can often be done with less money than you think. It can often be done with stock, with participation, with percentages, and, you know, a relatively modest amount of cash. So if you see a good site like that, you know, the move up from strategic alliances in your strategy pyramid that I've been working through with you is actually acquisitions. We go on. Number 11, consider launching more than one website. For example, you might create a second website with reviews and information about the products for sale in your online store. The links from that site to another will increase the link popularity of both. That's similar to what I talked about. What's critical is talking about, I'll go a step further. I mentioned to you, you may want to create, you know, take your top 20 products and create long copy web pages for each of those products. Make sure that all 20 are linked to each other and linked to your site, your main store site. By the way, if you have a store, the long copy site doesn't have to have a cart on it. All it does is have a link to your product page, which takes them back to your site, and the transition is virtually invisible. You might have, let's suppose you're in the fitness business, or let's take, if you're in the fitness business, because we were looking at these, vitaminlife.com. I don't know who they are, by the way. I don't think I've talked to them in the past, but it's one of the sites that we researched. If you take vitaminlife.com, Brian, anyway, if you take that particular site, you might find that they have a store with lots of vitamins, but they might focus on one particular product, you know, product X. .com, and yet have nothing but one page of long copy that is linked back. The links on that page drive them right into the store of vitaminlife.com. That type of simplicity means you can produce many pages without all the trouble associated with carts, and at the same time, you're creating multiple links back to your own site, you're creating multiple ways to attract rankings in the search engines, and of course, you're creating more persuasive copy. Number 12, frequent online communities such as discussion forums and email lists. Become a moderator. Get somebody, if you become too busy, because you'll outgrow this, get a staff member to become a moderator and get active as a participant in discussion communities and include your linked URL and your signature. This can work. It doesn't work when you beat the members over the head with your product offering. It does work when you make real contributions to the discussion list. and people see incidentally that you represent product X. I move on. 13, utilize press releases and other publicity garnering techniques to draw attention to your site. By the way, if you use those, and Brian add this, you want to publish a copy of those press releases on your own site. A, it serves as a credibility indicator. Even if they don't get picked up by many of the major press outlets, it still serves as a credibility indicator on your site. B, they get picked up by the search engines. It's text, rich, credible copy, which helps you. Number 14, utilize reviews or testimonials as a linking strategy. Many webmasters will post their favorable comments about their sites or products on their site. Now, let me explain this. I'm reading it to you, but let me not read it. Let me just explain it to you because it's pretty critical. A great way to get a link to your site is to write a compliment about someone else's site, and you'll find they'll publish your compliment on their own website, often with a link back to your site. Consider that as a way to get links. Also, don't overlook exchanging links with various business partners or suppliers. People who rely on you, or if you're a third-party intermediary, work, you know, laterally with people who can benefit from links, as well as the fact that they can benefit from your existing business relationship, and maybe they provide you with something or you provide them with something. Bring them into this as well. 16, there are a number of other techniques that may work for certain types of sites. These include hosting your own awards program. That's a really effective way. Hosting a top sites program. An awards program, you may think, well, I'm talking about awarding for websites, but how about awards for best product in class? If you're a retailer, there are many other types of awards that will get you a press release, will get you picked up, will get traffic, and will certainly get people to link to you. Joining web rings and so on. There is information on utilizing these techniques in some of the articles in our literature review below. Don't neglect these extensive literature reviews. You'll be getting one with this report that ranks and talks about many other things that you might find helpful. Number 18, keep track of your link solicitation efforts. Utilize an Excel spreadsheet or similar method to track the dates and success rates of your submissions. That's very important because you'll get lost if you don't. And 17, which I skipped over, is don't participate in link farms or the free-for-all link pages. These will not create any direct traffic, and they'll have a very negative impact on your link popularity and your search rankings. Be in mind, and this is 19, that cultivating links is an ongoing process, and you've got to be on constant lookout for new sites that may link to yours. You also may want to look at a report that we've done on link popularity with relation to Google PageRank. And that report is number what, Brian?
That should be the last one on the list.
Okay. These techniques together can create a significant increase in the traffic to your site over time. And not only will you receive traffic directly from the links themselves, but you'll also achieve higher ranking in those search quotes consider link popularity. I might add to this one more. Consider one of the things that we put on our site was most popular quotes. If you're a content group, we noticed that people were quoting us regularly. So we created a whole web page with popular quotes, and we found people lifting quotes from that page and putting them on their own sites. For MEC, I mean, we found a half a dozen major universities that were quoting us on their, you know, on their faculty pages, or on their, I'm sorry, their departmental pages, you know, journalism and other pages. We found quotes in the Washington Post that we didn't recognize. We found quotes in Rolling Stone, which we didn't know about, and many, many others as we began to trace them back through reverse traces, which we did through the tools we talked about in the beginning. All right, so this is the report that I have for you today. Do we have any questions before we let you go?
I have a question. This is Jagdish from Net Studio.
Yes.
Question is, if we have bilateral links between our site and other site and vice versa, versus the unilateral link from the other sites to our site, what is the difference in impact on page ranking?
That's a good question, and Jeremy can answer it briefly. Are you on the phone, Jeremy?
Yeah, I'm here.
I'll let you answer that, but also I would point out, and Jeremy, you've had some caveats. I've got your notes on this in front of me, but you're welcome to you're welcome to bring up as well. But may I point out, Jagdish, that we've done a report that discusses this in detail, and that is that final report, that final link. What is the actual link number, Brian?
Number 8 on the list.
Number 8 on your list. Jagdish talks about the effect of these links on your Google page rank. And Jeremy, if you'd like to comment, go ahead.
Yeah, basically, of course, my biggest caveat lately has been that chasing PageRank is a bad idea. Link popularity and PageRank should not be confused. They're different. PageRank is a numerical value that Google uses. Link popularity has a lot to do with the search engine as a whole look at things. But the biggest thing is that you're not really going to see a whole lot of PageRank link or leak from having reciprocal links. It's just really not going to happen. So reciprocal links really aren't going to hurt you on that side of the house at all. Did that answer the question? I'm not sure.
Yeah, it does. I have a follow-up comment and a question, and that is, based on all the things I hear in these conference calls, which have been very useful, I believe that one should not force a linking from our side to the other side and vice versa. This should be a natural evolution about the synergy between the sites.
Mm-hmm.
And in that sense, are there ways to solicit links from other guys which may be more synergistic with you rather than the other way around? In other words, it may make sense for a website to link to us and not the reverse. How do you approach that kind of a situation?
Rephrase the question, Jeremy. Rephrase the question so everyone else can hear. Sometimes it's a little difficult to understand what your question or your comment, Jag. Just go ahead, Jeremy. Restate it and then answer it.
Okay. As I understand it, what you're asking is basically how do you solicit sites to link to you and you not actually have to link to them?
Right.
So you don't. Yeah, basically. That's where that's where content comes in.
Pure content.
You can either, one of the things you can do is you can encourage people, like we said, you give people, you write testimonials for sites. These are, of course, real testimonials for real products that you've really used. And people will link to you that way. If you have content on your site, you write guest articles. Writing guest articles for other sites. Like about.com will take guest submissions. I think the only thing they require is that they have 90 days exclusivity. So if you write an article, get it published on About, then you get links from About and all of their affiliates to you. It's that kind of stuff. And then 90 days later, you can do whatever you want with the article anyway. But basically the big thing is you have to give people a reason to link to you. If you give them that reason, they'll do it.
Yeah, MEC does not have, we have many people linking to us, but we don't do, we don't have a link page in our site. And people continue to link. And obviously, we're a kind of a content-rich site, but still, it's an example. All right, I'm going to close out the conference. I trust it's been helpful for you. And we're working hard for the next event, and we appreciate your trust. You have a wonderful day. Thank you.
I guess a big thing, it sounded like you were against some of the link building software packages out there like Arelis and the other things. Is that just because you found they haven't worked or you haven't experimented with them or what?
Good. That's a good question. Jeremy, you're welcome to comment on this. I don't want to make a blanket statement about anyone, about all automated packages. I don't want to make a blanket statement about one particular company that, unless I can speak very specifically about its strengths or weaknesses based on genuine research. But in general, I would point out that thus far we have tested automated linking approaches and we have found that in general they do not work. And more than that, we found that I don't know how to be effective without some kind of manual personal touch, because the really good link partners tend to be people that you develop relationship with, and it's harder to do that through a system that's purely automated.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing there is I haven't seen anything with search engines that say you're going to get banned for that kind of stuff, but I do spend quite a bit of time in the webmaster community. And the general consensus among webmasters is that they detect, and this is my experience too, if I think that you haven't been to my site, I'm not even going to read your email. And on top of that, you're in a lot of ways, the biggest failing is based on artificial intelligence. It's going to go out there, it's going to look, and it's going to try and determine what sites are good for you without you actually having seen them. So here it is. It's basically spamming a bunch of webmasters, and that can get you a lot of trouble.
This doesn't preclude you from using software in conjunction with a personal touch, but I'd be real careful about how I did it.
Yeah,
I would. A lot of the software packages are kind of gray in that.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Automated stuff, and then I guess the biggest thing is I notice whenever I go out to sites to build links to my site, go into directories. Some of the, I guess they're not a directory, but they require reciprocal links. And it's just a huge process. Like,
oh,
go to the link page, build that. I mean, is that the way you guys are doing it, or do you have anything that helps mine that?
How you do it is kind of up to you. You know, some people use link pages. Some people call it resources. You know, I would actually recommend, some of the general consensus among SEOs is that you don't actually call it a link page. You call it relevant resources or directory or something like that, because link pages are considered old and out of date. I mean, they're not sure if it actually hurts you or helps you. It's called links. There's a big debate on whether you might get penalized for having a links page and calling it that. It's stupid.
Some of the software also that's available now will help you keep track of all of that and actually build the pages for you. So it can be easier to keep track of that if you want to set up even a set of reciprocal link pages. But
Some of that stuff has some really good features. So rather than look at the package as a whole, look at how the tools it has can complement what you do. It's kind of like Web Position Gold, which, you know, supposedly can get you banned from Google. That's only if they can figure out who you are. Some of its tools are really, really handy. On the other hand, what it does do is it has a tool that will create doorway pages for you, and that will get you banned from websites faster than anything. However, the rest of the tools are really, really useful for trying to track how your site's showing up in the rankings and stuff like that. So I'm not real familiar with a lot of those, but some of them have some really handy tools. You might be able to use it to help you find sites as linking partners, but I wouldn't actually use it to create links pages or to send out automated emails to webmasters, because chances are those automated emails are just going to cause more trouble than they're worth.
Right.
Can I ask a question?
Well, I had a question for you.
Yes.
Chris. Recently, Yahoo went over Kingtomi for its main search, and we noticed a considerable drop in traffic when that occurred. I was wondering, are you familiar at all with how important the link structure is in terms of Kingtomi versus Google?
I think I can give you a reasonable answer, but I don't think I can give you a fully informed answer because there's so many changes going on right now, it's very difficult. You know, initially, Google placed far more emphasis on incoming links than I think Kingtomi did. But Kingtomi's been through some changes, and I would suggest that it's still more significant in Google, or historically was more significant. You know, there are some questions now about how significant it is within Google itself. I'm not saying that it isn't a factor, but there's quite a bit of debate as to what that factor is.
I can expand on that just a little bit if you want.
So, go ahead.
Basically, it's a really big deal for both of them. Yahoo, it's not as big of a deal as it is for Google. You know, the Google bomb is still in effect where you can basically point a ton of links at one site that has nothing to do with what you're talking about, and it'll be number one. Yahoo is a little harder to figure out that way. The biggest thing you do have to realize expand on what we were talking about with MarketLeap and stuff like that. I didn't think about it then. Was MarketLeap is going to show you, you know, 2,000-3,000 links in Yahoo and only 200 links in Google. And that's not to say that Google doesn't see all those too. It's just that Google just shows you the ones that it thinks are important. The problem is nobody knows what it means. Because it may count a link on the same page. Like I ran into an instance with one of the companies we worked for where it was showing a link for one of their competitors. Well, when I backtraced that link, I realized that a link to his site was there literally before the link that it was showing in Google, but he wasn't getting credit for that link. So it's really weird on how that works. Nobody really knows. But the big answer on that one is simply it's a very, very big deal for both. However, Google places more weight in the link text as the link pointing at you than Yahoo does.
Okay. Can I ask a question, please?
Yes.
This is Wayne Clayton with About News Magazine. I noticed on your general directories list, the first one you have listed is DMOZ. In doing some research about DMOZ, I've noticed that they're not real attentive as far as their editors go on a timely basis to get you listed. Is it actually still worth the time and effort to try to fight to get into DMOZ, or would the time be better spent doing something else?
Well, you know, a lot of people are getting fed up with DMOZ. DMOZ has historically had, you know, has been a factor in Google. The question really, though, is how much time does it really take to submit to DMOZ? Not very long. Much time to bug them again two or three times, not that much. I would suggest that you know, you can have a reduction of anxiety and worrying as to whether or not you show up in DMOZ and console yourself with it. Many people are thinking it's not worthwhile. On the other hand, the time investment to get listed in DMOZ is really not all that great.
Okay.
So, you know, I would pursue it, and if you don't get it for a while, then I would, you know, it's okay. It took us 6 months plus to get one research partner recently, but generally we get it in 30 to 45 days.
Okay.
Jeremy, you want to add to that anything?
I was just going to say, DMOZ had a recent change to their policies. See, the problem is they get thousands upon thousands upon thousands of submissions every day. People have set up spiders to automatically submit sites every day, like 10, 20 times, so it's crazy. Which is part of the reason they have such problems. But basically, their new policy is you can submit, and then 6 months later, you can ask. And then 6 months after that, you can ask. So my general attitude has now become towards DMOZ is it's worth the time to submit, but once you submit, just don't worry about it. You know, it's like any directory. You know, take the time to submit to it. It's worth your time to at least try. But don't stress yourself out over, you know, it's been 3 months and you're not listed yet. It's not worth it.
Okay. One last question. Are you familiar with the software called Traffic Equalizer?
No.
I am not.
Okay.
If you have something that's worth studying, shoot it over to us and we'll look at it. But at this point, I'm not familiar with it.
I'm a little bit familiar with it. What's your... this is Brian Wheelock. I just have worked with that a little bit.
Well, Brian, was it relevant to what we were talking about today?
As far as
creating links and with the links building traffic, or is it sort of outside of the realm of what we were discussing?
It does create, you know, a lot of links, but I think it definitely in a very gray area, because basically what it does is goes out, looks at the search engine results on several different search engines and then kind of compile stuff. So I think it's creating what they're calling that doorway pages, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah, bad.
And that's not good.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
Wow. Well, listen, thank you for all your contributions, discussion. Hopefully this has been helpful for you, and we'll keep working over here, guys.
Great.
You take care.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye.